All right, all right, all right. We are live. This is CGSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cgsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and listen to podcasts of our programs on SoundCloud and our website. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CGSF or 2573. This is Khoi Inj Shachlach from the Intlakepmich territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkina, BC, and I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we have a fantastic show coming up for you guys, and we have a special co-host with us here in the studio, and it is our brother Wegedus. How are you, man?
Top notch, brother. Thanks for having me, and thanks for tuning in, everybody from around the world. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for witnessing our show that we put so much love into.
Absolutely. And today is September 19th, 2024, and it's going to be a very great show. We have some music coming in from Black Rainbows, a group called Gatsu from down New Orleans. We got Missing Persons. We got Gain Band Rockabilly. And if we have time, some Space Banjo. So stay tuned for that. And we also have our regular guests coming in. Of course, we have our brother Wegedus in the house with us today. We also have a special guest coming in, Sagage, and he's a Mi'kmaq. And we have my brother Shkwait Shachlach from Gwaishkina, BC, and also our production manager, Lady Faima. She's going to be joining us later on.
Right on.
And so, yeah, we're going to start off our program with a very energetic music from Black Rainbows and their song called Radio 666. And it's a good one. It's going to get your heart going. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Enjoy, everyone.
I take my ride and driving out of the space. Set the speed to the level. Set the radio on the 217. Put my hands on the fader.
Burning my skin, the smell of flesh from the weed.
was a good one. That was Black Rainbows, Radio 666. And we welcome everybody from all over the world, from England, from Germany, from Spain, from Switzerland, from Egypt, from Africa, from Ukraine, from Russia, from Japan, from China, from New Zealand, from Australia, from Philippines, from South America, from North America, all across Canada, all across United States. Welcome to join us on our odyssey of positivity, human growth, empowerment for human rights and justice, and just making this world a special, beautiful, wonderful place that it should be. And we are going to start the show off right, and we're going to ask our brother Wegedesk to please and thank you lead us through some deep breaths.
Absolutely, Chief. You know, guys, nothing better than breathing. And while it is so simple, it's the foundation of our existence. So let's just give ourselves this time. Let's relax our belly, relax our jaw, relax your facial muscles. Get ready to really not just physically breathe in, but take in all the beauty and love in life. And when our lungs are nice and full, we're just going to maybe release all that in a nice, easy way with a good sigh. Kind of like a diesel engine that's letting off its exhaust. You know, just kind of making that sound. So let's do it all the way in through the nose in 3, 2, 1. Nice. Two more of those. Nice. And thinking about all the abundance that you are grateful for on the breath in. And letting everything go. Super good, guys. Ooh, I know, man, might be a little weird, but this stuff is so good for us, and the benefits are, you can't argue with them. So.
Absolutely, man. That's so invigorating. Just like big surge of energy, getting that oxygen into our bloodstreams and into our brains, and just getting us ready for an awesome show. And we have our subject today, and it's on understanding. And I'd love to hear your words from you. And also a big thanks to Kanavar, because he brought it up in our last show. So inspired me. And it just made me remember things. So, yeah, please, let's hear
understanding. Yeah, that's a great topic. As you know, Chief, and maybe some of the listeners know as well, I've spent a lot of time working in the legal system, in courts. And often a judge, in order to proceed, will ask you, do you understand? And things can't really progress unless you understand. And our English language is so full of kind of like hidden meanings. For example, the reason why we use the word understand, I like this example, is say we wanted to place a fridge somewhere in our kitchen, but we weren't sure how stable the floor is. Maybe it's something heavier than a fridge. Maybe it's a safe or something. And we're not sure if the floor can support the weight of the object. So what do? We go down into the basement and we stand under that thing and we look up and we're then able to understand it and see what's under there. And by understanding it, then there's consent. Then there's enough information, because you don't really want to be partaking of anything when people don't understand, because then it's just going to fall apart later on. So understanding is really important. And our whole English language is full of these ways to understand the words that we use more. Understanding, you go and stand under something and then you understand it better. And so understanding is just a really important thing for all of us. And, you know, sometimes we don't understand. And even the understandings that we do get are like a fraction of the universal truths, perhaps. But I know that in my life, I've used faith as probably one of the best understanding tools that I have, because a lot of the times I don't know what's going on. I just take my best guess at it, and I hope and I have faith that because I believe everything is happening for the best reasons, even if I can't experience them at that exact moment, I have faith and I understand how things are rolling out. And so that's what I think about understanding, Chief. How about you? What do you think about understandings?
Well, I was very surprised and happy about the answer of Conrovar. And throughout the week, it just kept coming up, understanding. And it really reminded me of when I was growing up and learning from especially my grandmother. And she used to teach in our language, in Tlakemch. And she would, I had to translate. She would always get me to translate for my older brothers and my older cousins. And one of the things that she always would tell me, she would say at the end of her teachings in our language, in Tlakemch, she would say, Kaminajman. And I'm butchering it, but I'm doing the best I can. But in a sense, she was asking, do you understand? And it always like made me realize that, okay, I gotta be on the ball. And because one time she did ask, and I didn't know. And she got upset, of course. And she told me, like, you know, I can be doing something else. I can be doing something that I can get done that needs to be done. I don't need to sit here and talk to you, especially if you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made me realize, okay, I got to make the most of when I'm with her in her presence and learning all these special tools that she's given us. And it made me to always sit up whenever I heard that Kaminajman. And I just like, okay, this is it. I'm on the ball. I got to get on and understand and know. And it's pretty difficult when you're translating, because you're going into that language and then you got to like translate it and then teach it to somebody else. And it's... it makes things stick in your brain harder, especially when you're teaching someone else. So it's a really great learning tool to translate, I guess. And it helps you understand more.
Paying attention, definitely.
Yeah, so understanding, if you can understand in another language, it just makes it all the more powerful, and it really goes into your brain and gets stuck there, which is what we want. Whenever we want to learn anything, we want it to be stuck there. We want it to be in our lives forever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was just a really special thing that came up and made me remember and understand. Yeah, so... Yeah, thank you for joining us and your perspective and your words. It's always awesome and just a privilege and an honor to listen to you.
Of course. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So we're going to continue on with our program here. And coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Sagaj, my brother from the Mi'kmaq peoples. And he's going to continue the talk on the state of Anomé. And pretty big, powerful subject. So we have a song here, and I picked it out from Gatsu. And their song is called I Must Scream, and it kind of sets the tone for this subject. So let's have a listen to that, and stay tuned. Enjoy, everyone. Gatsu, I Must Scream. So here goes.
Thank you. surprise the audience.
We're back. That was Gatsu, I Must Scream. And we have our brother Sagaj on the line with us. And he's a very world-renowned instructor. And he's been a part of the United States Army and the Canadian Army. And he's got a master's degree in Indigenous governance and another degree in political science, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so welcome to our program. And we would love to hear more words on the state of anime. And we want to know about the genocide, the definition of genocide and how it relates to the world and also Canada.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for having me. I always appreciate coming on the show. I got a lot of info, so I'm just going to jump right into this. The way I'm approaching it today is looking at there's a risk of not understanding the state of anime. And more importantly, how colonial atrocities and traumas play into setting up that state of anime. Now, one of the risks we have, and we see this happen all the time, is we tend to blame the oppressed. We blame the victim. And I'm talking about Indigenous people, right? We blame each other. We fault each other. We judge each other because we haven't been taught, we're not aware or acknowledging the external pressures, the external stressors that shape who we are now, right? So, in order to really understand the state of anime, I have to kind of outline colonial atrocities and colonial traumas that are really big factors in shaping us to how we come to this state of kind of having like societal dysfunctions in almost every one of our communities. Mm-hmm. So if we think about it, our traumas, you know, just to kind of like just characterize them real quick, our traumas are complex, they're compounded, they're historical and ongoing, and they're interconnected, because the root of this is colonialism, right? So I'm going to list through a bunch of these atrocities that cause trauma. These are all colonial related. And I'll start with what you said, genocide. So we know genocide to be like war. It's war targeting people, an entire population of people, right? So for us, we went through wars, we went through conflicts, we had forced starvation. Of course, we had inflicted diseases when you think about like smallpox, for instance. And the result of that was a mass population loss of over 90%. So, you know, a lot of scholars estimate that over 100 million Indigenous people died throughout these trials that we went through, these tribulations. So what we got to recognize is, imagine the extent of the grief that our great-great-grandparents went through. And for some of us, particularly on the West Coast, you don't have to go that far back in time. You're talking like, say, 1862 with a smallpox epidemic, right? Mm-hmm. That's like your great-grandfather's time, mm-hmm. or maybe even possibly your grandfather's time. And that was just one event. So there was many, many of these that caused that. So think about, you know, the amount of grief that goes with losing such a massive amount of a population, right? Your family and your loved ones, community members. To also add to this idea of genocide, I'm gonna use a term that we don't apply to Indigenous history, and that's ethnic cleansing. Now, that's more of a modern term. That came out in like the 90s, right? It was in response to the breakup of Yugoslavia. But, you know, really what it is cleansing the land of an ethnicity. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really accurately describes the settling of the Americas. The Europeans come on in and trying to cleanse the land of indigenous presence. So I think what makes that a little bit more, a little bit of a distinction between the typical ideas of genocide is a lot of civilians engage in this. So it's not just our people trying to hold off and defend against the army, the cavalry, the government in general, but they're also dealing with settler violence, civilian settler violence. And it was a lot of this. So we're talking, we were removed from our lands by murder, massacres, violence, rape, threats, intimidation. And amongst the more recent, I guess you could say, examples of this will be like California during the gold rush. All these people flooded into California with, you know, the idea of becoming miners, and they would go out and attack indigenous villages. And then there'll be reports, like every Sunday, the newsletter or newspaper would report like successes, like, you know, how 20 miners went into a village and killed two or three natives. And, you know, every little town would have these little reports about their progress of basically cleansing the land. Now, we got to remember here in BC, when they found gold out in the Skagit area, there was a flood of American miners from California. The very same ones that was committing this ethnic cleansing in California came up into BC. And then we talk like the 1850s, and they were doing the same kind of acts. They were indiscriminately killing indigenous people of all, like children, elders, women, men, to be able to cleanse the land so they could take it. And we know this triggered a couple of big conflicts right afterwards, right? Okay. As also, you know, other traumas, we have cultural genocide. And that's like the destroying of our way of life. I spoke about this a couple of times before, but, you know, it's destroying our knowledge, our customs, our ceremonies, our identities. Mm. It's destroying even written documents. Like, we were taught that we weren't, like, smart enough to write down things, but that's not true. Like, there's still evidence of the Aztec codices that are held in, like, I think it's private museums or something like that, right? But even like the destruction of petroglyphs, any method of transferring knowledge and stuff, these were ways of knowing and being that were all being destroyed. Mm-hmm. Then, as another like colonial atrocity that becomes a trauma, it's assimilation. And we're quite familiar with that, right? And that's where we're being forced. So first we're having our way of life destroyed, but then we're being forced into a foreign way of life where we're basically like a third class citizen, right? Mm-hmm. A really good example of this, and this is the one that Canadians are more familiar with, is when we think about mass kidnapping in residential school. Because there you're talking to over 150,000 kids were kidnapped. We have to really think of it like that, because our great-grandparents didn't say, hey, take my kids. This was done by force. It was done by violence. It was done by threats, imprisonment. If we didn't give up the kids. So what I want you to think is, as a parent, the trauma you would feel of your kids being taken away. And I say the word kids like plural, because we know our families tend to be big families. Mm-hmm. So one kid after another, as soon as they become of school age, forcibly being taken away from you for over a decade. Like, that kind of trauma eventually breaks you down. Any parent that's powerless to stop it from happening, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, my kids being taken away like that, because I know, like, it would be such a severe impact mentally, right? Mm-hmm. So we could kind of understand how a lot of our people would turn towards alcohol as a coping mechanism, because they are just destroyed, broken on the inside, when your kids being stolen from you. And you know, we knew they're being taken to a bad place where harm will come of them, because a lot of times the parents went through it themselves. Mm. Or they would hear the stories. If this was new to them, they'd hear the stories of what residential school was doing, right? Yeah. Now imagine the kid comes back, they're 16, 17 years old, they don't know you as a parent. They're disconnected from you, the family, the community. They don't know the language to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. They probably see you now as a broken alcoholic because of the trauma of that child being taken away. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, we notice historically, a lot of kids that came back from residential school turned to alcohol as a coping mechanism for not knowing how to belong anymore, mm-hmm. not knowing how to be themselves and or how to even be aware of their own identity. Right? And then, again, something we don't really address, this mass kidnapping is actually an act of genocide. Mm-hmm. In the United Nations definition, the fifth article that defines genocide is forcibly transferring children from one group to another. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm going to reiterate, we never gave consent to the kidnapping, the abuse, the harms of our children like that. That is an article of genocide, one of the definitions. Mm-hmm. We also have dispossession and disconnection from our lands. That creates trauma. Now, more so for us, because our culture is land-based. Like we the land